Thank the Lord to be saved this afternoon. I'm thankful for the privilege to be here. Part of our human nature is to be first, and about a lot of the things we do, we want to be first. I see people line up to eat, and a lot of them want to be first. And I think if we could turn that around just a little bit, and if we could try to be first in spiritual things, if we could ask the Lord to help us, you know, if anybody should be the first to reach out and help people, I believe that is the people of God's responsibility. Matthew 6 and 33, I'll start there, and it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Seeking first the kingdom of God, that is a necessary ingredient in our life. If I want to be first in anything, it's really seeking the Lord and his ways, his will, his plan for me in my life. Seeking him first, being there first. I've been thinking about how important it is for first responders, you know, people that, emergency medical people, firefighters, people that are in the medical field. It's important to get to the area first where somebody is hurt, there's a fire, there's an accident. First responders have a very important part in helping to bring a calm to the situation. I don't know if you've ever been on in a place where there has been a fire. It's very critical that those people get there very rapidly. And they're able, the sooner the better, to get a hold of the fire or be able to put it out, be able to evacuate the people out of their homes or help whatever is needed. First responders have a very important part in playing. And everybody has to be on their very best whenever it comes to responding to critical situations. And I'm thinking about us this afternoon. I'm thinking about us being first responders. I don't know everyone in here. I know most of you, but several of you I might not know very well. But I think it's important whenever we see a need that we respond in the best way. I'm thinking this afternoon about Job. And I want to turn over here. Someone read that for me. Job 29, the 29th chapter of Job. I think there's a few verses in here that I'd just like to pick up. And hopefully you'll stay awake. It's hard, I know. Believe me, I know it's hard to stay awake. But I'll try to be as brief as I can. And if I find it here, let me... I'll pick it up here in about the 15th verse. Go ahead, if you'll read that, Brother Danny. 15 and 16. All right, that's good. He said here, "I was eyes to the blind, and I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out." The last part of that 16th verse really stirs me, because there's a lot of situations we hear about, and if we're not careful, some of those things can just fall through the cracks. But he said, "The cause that I knew not, I searched out." In other words, Job was saying, I'm not going to be lax when it comes to if there's a need and there's something going on, I want to, and I hear just a little wind of it. I hear a little something that's going on. He said, the cause that I knew not, I searched out. And there's times I believe that God wants to visit each and every one of us to be first responders. He doesn't want you to be the last, and He doesn't want you to just look around. And it reminds me, I was working at Burger King one time. I was back in the kitchen, and this girl was slicing tomatoes, and she was pushing those tomatoes through there, and she pushed her hand right into those sharp knives, and it just cut her hand so bad. And you know what she did? She just fell over in the floor. And do you know what the assistant manager did? She just watched her. It just saw her, just looked at her. And you know what else she did? She went to eating her sandwich or her lunch. And here, one's laid in the floor, bleeding, and the other one's eating her sandwich. It was like, you know, don't bother me right now. I'll be done in a few minutes. That angered me. When I saw that girl, I thought, well, at least, you know, I can't sew her finger up, but I can help get her head off of that hard floor. I can do something to relieve a little bit of her pain. And it reminded me of another time. Brother Marvin Propes and I were driving out of Shawnee, and we got on I-40, and right there on the entrance ramp, here's all kinds of clothes and papers and everything scattered all over the road. And I kind of dodged and went around that, and there was a man that was lying right in the white markers of the road. He was laying right there, and there was cars going around him. Nobody was stopped. That angered me too. Whenever I see things like that, I think, what do we need? What does it take to get us energized to do something? Or do we just sit back and think, I sure hope somebody can help them? You know, we could at least. And Brother Marvin, he got a flashlight, and I went to get some help. And I was backing down the entrance ramp, and a guy pulls behind me or is coming, and I jumped out and said, hey, there's a man that's been hit here. Go get help. And he said, I'm the one that hit him. And, you know, just thinking about that today, and here's this man that he's dying, and he's laying on this asphalt, and people are driving around him. And we kind of get a hold of him and just raise him up enough, you know, just to give him comfort. He's bleeding from so many, his bones sticking out. And nobody would stop for him. And he died right there. I just felt like we started praying and calling on God. You might think, boy, I'm glad I don't have that on my memory. I've got it on mine. And I do it again. And I do it again. And I do it again. But I'm thinking about sometimes what apathy can do for us. Just simply doing nothing never fixes the problem. What about being first responders in our home? What about that? You live with your companion, and you know there's times that you don't agree on everything. You know there's some situations, and you get in some difficult places sometimes. You have a family. You have bills coming due. You have pressures put on you. You have deadlines to meet. You have all these things going on, and you're trying to make a living. You're trying to keep things going on, and there's a little friction that starts, and maybe you lack some in your prayer life, or there's just been so many things going on and happening, you hadn't taken time to be with each other enough, and pretty soon some sharp words come about. Some things come out of your mouth, and you really didn't want to say that. And then here it goes. It happened in the afternoon, and then, you know, you eat supper maybe, and then you start to go to bed, and, well, do I kiss her goodnight or just Oh, we'll just sleep it off. Some of y'all, you know what I'm talking about. You know the best thing to do is to be a first responder. I'm working on it. I haven't made a perfect score. I haven't made a perfect score, but I'm telling you, the Lord's been challenging me this afternoon. I've been working on things. I want to be a first responder. How about you? Or how about let's just shove it under the rug and forget about the whole thing. Just push her right under here. Come to camp meeting and cover her all up. You step on that knot, you know, it's going to be there. Step on it. No, you can't sweep it under the rug forever. Being a first responder and taking care of little things in our life is so important to us this afternoon. I really believe that. I've been working on that, and I intend to work on that. I don't believe we're going to get to the place where we just say, well, she knows what I mean. She knows I love her. Oh, I've brought in a whole sack of groceries, and she knows I love her. Oh, honey, just look at all those groceries. You know I love you. There's some things that goes beyond a sack of groceries that they need to hear. And being a first responder, I'm telling you, will keep a lot of problems down in our homes. Oh, when I see the decay that is going on, the letting down and the lack of love and support for each other. You know, there's things we do sometimes. If I didn't have the support of my companion, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. It's very important for us this afternoon to be able to be first responders when it comes to problems in the home. Lum and Abner used to say, oh, there's just some T-I-H going on, just some T-I-H. And I thought, what is he talking about, T-I-H? He said, oh, it's just old trouble in the home. Trouble in the home. Well, some of you may not know who I'm talking about, but I know there's some of you that you do know who I'm talking about. But people in the world recognize when there's things happening. We should be the first of all people to recognize when there's things happening. There's changes. There's things going on. Lord, help us to be first responders. Matthew 7:5. Someone help me read that. What does it say? It talks about if we're going to help a brother that's in need, what do we do first? He says, you first cast the beam out of your own eye. And then you're going to see clearly how to take care of the mote that's in your brother's. That's important for us. We can see the needs that we have in our own life. You know, I can't make you. No one can make you be quickened except the Lord by the Holy Spirit. No one can cause you to do things. I can't watch over you and say, you need to do this. This is what you need to do. I'm going to analyze your home life and tell you exactly what you need to do. There's no analyst in this tabernacle this afternoon that's going to come by your home and just tell you, here's exactly what you need to do. I'm going to prescribe this. But Jesus gives us some examples. He gives us a prescription of something. And if we look carefully into our own lives, do you know these things will work? There can be a lot of situations that are salvaged by reading the Word of God and applying it to our life. It's like, who do we think this is for? Who do we think it's for? Who is this speaking to that's speaking to me? Is speaking to me. If I want to handle a situation, you know, there's part of soul searching that all of us need. If we don't go back tonight, if we don't go in our private lives and search our souls, last night was you searching your soul? Was there anything about the Word last night that touched your heart? Anything you went home with and thought, oh, Lord, I want you to help me. I want to make heaven my home. I'm not there yet, and I want to do it. Even though I might know a few things and I've done a few things, but that really doesn't matter. I want to know the Lord and be like Paul. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. May the Lord bless us this evening, this afternoon. I'd like to look in the book of 1 Kings, the 17th chapter and the 13th verse. This story has touched my heart different times. It touches me this afternoon when I read it. Here was a man of God. Here was Elisha. And he was sent by the Lord. It says here, the 8th verse, 17 and 8, I'll start there. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Why in the world would the Lord send him to a place like that? There's a lot of other places Elisha could go, but he didn't send him over to any of the other friendly cities. He sent him into a place in near Canaan. It was a place over there, and it was like a strange, why'd send him there? But he said, you get over there, and I've already got things worked out for you. Oh, my. You know, living for the Lord sometimes and following him, there's some situations you get into that's just not the best, you know. Lord, there's lots of widows around Israel here, but over there, those people, they know how to take care of strangers. With this woman, even, I imagine there was a lot of things going through his mind. He was thinking, well, I wonder what she's going to do. I'm out of my league over here. This is not my people. I'm going in this strange place. The Lord said, arise and go. Now, you know what has a lot of effect here is the food and the water ran out. You know, when you get hungry, you're about willing to go anywhere, aren't you? Well, that's what happened to Elijah. Elijah took off. He'd been there by that brook, drinking out of the brook. And those ravens been bringing him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. You might say, what a terrible thing. Oh, terrible. Birds bringing you food. I think it'd be pretty interesting. I think, what are they going to bring me this evening? Oh, I'd be looking for them. About evening time, it's about time for them to come. And here they'd come back. They might have been bringing a little old chicken leg. I don't know, whatever they brought. It was already cooked. You talk about delivery service. You know, here the Lord had everything just lined up. Bread and flesh. Here was a chunk of bread, and I don't know how many of them came in. It might have been two or three. They might have had to bring him several little portions. But when that stopped happening, he was ready to listen. Lord, you've got something else in mind. And sure enough, he did. And it said here that he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. He called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, hey, bring me a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. I want to tell you, my heart, I don't think I could be that hard. How many of you brothers go say, yeah, I know you're hungry and you're going to die, but first of all, why don't you just bring me something up here? Because, you know, I'm really needing something right now. I couldn't do that, Brother Leslie. I, if the Lord told me to do it, I would do it. But that'd be awful hard. But you know what he was doing to that woman? He's going to test her to see. The Lord had that all in mind. Was she willing to give this strange man to take food from her table to give to a man she didn't even know? And yes, she was. And oh, the blessings that came with that obedience. This is kind of unheard of for a stranger. And here's this man that she's just going and taking what she has and giving it to him. Here you go, sir. Here you go. She's not saying, I hope you enjoy it, man. Johnny was really going to like this. No, she just, here you go. Here's the way you done it. Look what happened. For thus saith. You have to notice, first of all, she said, the Lord thy God. She said, as the Lord thy God liveth. I was reading that and I thought, this woman, she knew that was a man of God. She knew something was going to happen. There's just something tells me this woman had something in her life. There was something there that was, it rang true with her. She said, here it is. And then he spoke up and he said, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Oh, by being first, you see, by her obedience, if you the Lord speaks to you and tells you to do something, if there's a delay, it's a signal there's disobedience. Jonah was that example. You see, with just a little bit of delay, you can say, yes, Lord, I'll do it, but that, I'll get around to it. You know what? She was down to the last meal, and there was no delay. It was a critical situation, and she obeyed, and that barrel, I can just see, going back different times, well, son, go ahead and go see what's in there. He'd scoop it out and say, Mama, there's some more. He'd scoop it out and they'd have a meal. And he probably didn't even have to be told. He'd probably run the next day, Mama, there's some more. There's more. And kept going back. And every day, Mama, this thing's not empty yet. I know that was down the bottom. Scraped out another. Mama, it's more. And it was over a year, I believe, that this barrel, that the meal kept coming in the barrel. And the cruse of oil didn't fail. It was because somebody did something first. Somebody was obedient. And folks, it's so critical to us today. Our life, the end of your trials, you're thinking, oh, if I could only get out of this trial, if I could only just somehow get out of this thing that I'm in, if I could just come out of it some way. A lot of it depends on us being first. Are we first to help? Are we first to volunteer for something? Sister Ruth Murphy, she used to say, I can just see her. And she said, you know, the early bird gets the work. It used to be the early bird gets the worm, but it's the early bird gets the work. And that is so true. But I love people. I love to see them lined up, you know, to help. Lined up to help. You come around here at work day, and you know what? Sometimes there's not very many people shows up. Folks, there was weeds down here on this fence, and Brother Ed had to clear them out, but I helped him a little. They were this high just 2 weeks ago. And I don't know how much you wouldn't believe the work that's involved. And when I look around here and I see the ones that have been faithful through the years to come and show up, they ask for punishment. They come here for work day and they come with blisters and sore fingers and broken machinery and all kinds of things. But, you know, being first has its rewards. It has its rewards. And if you're lacking something this afternoon in your life, how many times have you lined up and you're volunteering for work? You volunteer for work. You're asking for troubles. You're asking for problems. Being first, you always come. What do they do when a first responder comes on and there's chaos? There's people hurting. There's people lying in the street. There's people trapped in cars. One of my friends told me, said, I came on an accident one time and the car was on fire and I tried to get in the window and here's this woman. She was just semi-unconscious. Her husband was dead. And this little baby was crying, and he said, this woman wouldn't let me get that baby. She wouldn't let me have him. And I tried to get in that wind. She wouldn't let him go, and she couldn't get out. And all of them died. And he said, I went home, and I just, oh, if I could only got that little baby. I'm going to tell you, when you get on a scene, a first responder is going to do their best to bring a calm to the situation. Troublemakers don't ever make it. First responders are people to bring a calm. They're people to put things in order. They set up, to set up a unit where you take people that's already gone and you take people that are needing medical attention and people that are ambulatory, they're alert, and you take and you categorize them and you start setting them out here and here. They bring a calm and they bring about order. And that's what we need. God needs hands. He needs people to put that same thing into practice in working in homes, working at your job, wherever. Are you a peacemaker? A peacemaker, it's one who initiates reconciliation between people. That's my little definition. You've got to have somebody that first of all takes a step and they initiate things. They make phone calls. They say, I'm sorry for what happened. I really see some needs. You know, there's some things it takes a while to do. It takes time, but if we're going to be peacemakers, I believe the Lord wants us to be that way. He wants to help us. I believe in, as Job, that there was a thing that he had in mind, that he was going to not let things just lie dormant and vacant. He was going to do something. I wish some of you knew this song I have on my heart, but it says, I'll just try to quote you the words, cups of cold water given in Jesus' name. Cups of cold water are never given in vain. Someday in heaven, when we meet the Lord, each deed of kindness will bring a rich reward. Cups of cold water. Lord, help us today to be people that are willing to share the cup of cold water. Be willing to bring some calm to a world that is in terrible hurt today. Terrible thing. People are so hurt. I see people sometimes that come in the jail and I see this distant look in their eyes and I've come to realize those people have been traumatized. They've had trauma. One lady told me, said, that man I was with was awake for 21 days. I could not go to the phone. I could not get away from him. He's doing all kinds of things to my daughter. And I get all the blame for what happened because I'm the mother. Can you begin to see some of the... And think about this. Here's a man that's high on drugs, and he's doing all these wicked things, and this lady is, she doesn't even know what to do. She can't even hardly function. But they catch her, and she gets, as her side of the story goes, I should say, I don't know the other side. But do you know the trauma people go through today? Trauma. People have been, the trauma in their life is so great sometimes. And there's people that I know, they'll never say anything to you. They'll never say anything to you. You can say, hi, how are you doing? Doing fine. Doing fine, doing good. But deep in their heart, there's some things going on. They really need somebody to recognize. Lord, help us today. I believe the Lord wants to help us to see when He says, and you hath He quickened. And you hath He quickened. You hath He made alive. You hath He saved, and He has called you with a calling, and He has given you a little bit of insight. And maybe you're one of those people that's been hurt and traumatized. Maybe you have some pretty ugly scars deep within. You know, there's a work that you can still do. You don't have to sit back on the sidelines and say, yes, I'm one of the ones that's been hurt. Do you know the Lord can help us to have a better sensitivity to help those kind of people that, and we can recognize them. There's telltale signs. Lord, help us today. Being first is going to put us in a lot of different circumstances, a lot of places. Jesus went home with people sometimes, and people just said, why? If this man knew, if he was a prophet, he would know that you don't go in those folks' homes. And if he is a real prophet, he wouldn't let that harlot wash his feet. He wouldn't be doing those kind of things. But you know, he understood people. He understood what they're going through. He recognized what was happening. And this afternoon, I'm going to tell you, I do believe God has a few people that have a big heart. And they use that big heart to help others. And it doesn't matter the cost or the distance. They still want to do the will of God, and they're there. I've seen those in Jeff City when we used to go to the prison. There were mothers that would walk down this long sidewalk, and don't tell me. I couldn't answer you why that affected me like it did, but this long old broken down sidewalk that went from the parking lot into the entrance into the prison, this one woman was walking up there, and I just... You know, I seen her get a hold of a handrail, and she was walking along. And you know, she was going in there because of the love she had for her son. Nobody'd have a love like that but a mother. This man could have been in there for all kinds of reasons, who knows. But the love that mother had caused her to keep going and walking those long, no telling how far she drove, no telling how many times she's paid for phone calls and bailed him out of jail, who knows. But she had a love for him, and she kept going. And she was there. I remember seeing her, and it just stuck in my mind how how much people are willing to go and do for their children. God wants to help us to go further than our families. Our families are wonderful, but there's a lot of other people there to help. Revelation 2 and 4 tells us about not losing our first love. Be careful that you don't let something get away from you. As Brother Marty was saying last night, that first love means a lot. Jesus in 23 and 25 of Matthew, he spoke of being careful that we not only clean the outside of the cup, but we get the inside. It's important. It's important. We're looking at how to help this old lost world we live in. And God has put a big responsibility on all of us to be first responders. I'm not going to go to these scriptures, but something touched my heart when I read about David, Solomon, Rehoboam, and Asa. 1 Chronicles 29 and 29 says, the acts of David, his first and his last. Every one of these that I just mentioned, Solomon, Rehoboam, and Asa, David, they had a first and a last. And you've got one too, and I've got one. We have a first and a last. And I'm saying to us this afternoon, Lord, help us that we not lose something in between the first and the last. There's a lot can happen between the first and the last. With these kings, a lot of things went on between the first and the last. There was lots of different things. David's life was a mixture of up and down, and there's a lot of things that went on. But our life is painting some kind of picture. Lord, help us today to be people that are first responders, to be people that don't lose that touch, what it takes. You know, when my mother was alive, she could say some things and it just made me feel good all over. I'd go by there and she had a way of just making you feel good. And yes, I was a mother's boy. I don't deny that at all. But my mom had something special about her that I loved. And do you know the church today, the church of God still has something this old world is really needing? They're needing the touch of you, dear people, the people of God. They're needing your touch. And don't look so far off. There's people that get right among us sometimes and look like, oh, they've been there in the pew. I've known them for years. But, you know, sometimes they need a special attention. And I'm thankful that God has given His people a mother's heart. I'm thankful He's given different ones that love. And I feel that. And He wants to help us all today to be people that are first responders. I pray the Lord will bless us all. Like Job. Oh, when I read about Job there in 29 that we read a while ago, it said he was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. The cause that he knew not, he searched out. That stirs my heart today. I want to leave this little challenge with you today to be a first responder. When there's things arise, maybe things you don't really know what to do, how to help. There's problems that come up. Maybe I was so encouraged that the tornado that came through Moore. There was people that showed up to help. They showed up to help. Came from all over to help. Just to help. There's people come by and you know, hey, would you like a bottle of water? Hey, here, take this. Here's some water. That's what the Lord's looking for. It's people to be people that have love. May the Lord bless us today. Amen.